This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. AJ Cassavell, the new dad, joins us here on Gwen and Chris.
It's not often that men glow when there's a baby.
Yes, he's still glowing.
I saw him
last week, and I said, "What's it been now? Like a month?" He goes, "Oh no, it's like 2-3 months already." But he's still glowing.
Wow,
still glowing.
Happy daddy.
Hello, AJ.
2 months in a week.
There we go. 9 weeks exactly. Yes. All right, AJ, thanks for joining us, of course. I'll address the elephant in the room. It's my own opinion, maybe mine alone, but I think others share it. I thought your questions were fair last week. I totally understood where you were coming from. And, you know, it created a little stir, but I don't think you meant to create a stir with those questions, did you?
Certainly not. I mean, I think the question maybe got misconstrued a little bit into his perception of what I was calling a rough patch. I certainly wasn't calling those three games a rough patch. I might call what we're currently witnessing a little bit of a rough patch for the Padres, but I think it was just maybe a question being misconstrued, and I wasn't there's no provocation there.
Yeah. I just real quick, you don't have to tell us either way, but I'm curious, have you and Mike Shildt spoken since then? And you don't have to answer if you don't want to, because it's your own personal business.
Yeah, we've spoken. I mean, I didn't even think it was that big a deal, to be honest.
Yeah, okay.
I thought it was just a question that I asked, and he answered, and he's defensive about his team and is very positive about the outlook of the team, and I was doing my job asking a question. I didn't even think it was a big thing. I had last weekend off, actually, and I don't know. It seemed like it got blown maybe a bit more out of proportion than I think it should have been. Mike Shildt is positive about his team. I think it plays well in a lot of areas. It doesn't necessarily play well in his messaging and post-game press conferences after losses, but that's also not the most important thing for a manager to have to do. If a manager is a little off in his messaging and post-game press conferences, well, I mean, there's a million other things on his plate that are more important than that.
Oh, it's my turn. Sorry. I was sorry.
You're up.
AJ, obviously, last night was disappointing. The Padres couldn't muster up any runs. And, again, it comes against a lefty, which has been a big question mark. But the positive was Adam Major. He came out, really threw the ball well. I mean, I'm sure, I said before you came on, if Mike Shildt had known he would have gotten that, he would have signed up for that immediately. What'd you think of Adam and his start last night?
Yeah, it was really encouraging for a number of different reasons. I think the biggest maybe being that the thing we had heard about him was that he was a strike thrower and that he had kind of pinpoint command, and that was always what got him, what worked well for him in the minors. Obviously, good stuff too. Obviously, a lot of good things to like, but it was the pinpoint command. Well, last night he didn't really have that, and he found himself in some bad counts. He wasn't throwing a lot of strikes early, and for him in his major league debut, without that going his way, to kind of bounce back and grit through it and then put it together and complete six innings of one-run ball, like, that bodes pretty well for if he does have that command and if he's not walking those guys for the future. So it's an important question I think the Padres will be answering going forward. Like, what do they do in their starting rotation? In the immediate future, Adam Major's got a spot to prove himself, and I think he did himself pretty good last night with that performance.
AJ Cassavell is with us from MLB.com. And AJ, this is a tough one for us. It's a tough, I think, for the media. I mean, we all can see what's happening against the lefties, but I don't want to beat a dead horse. You don't want to beat a dead horse. You probably asked the Padres, Mike Shildt, about this. You asked the players about this, and Tony's right. There's no answer to why they're struggling against lefties. They just are. So, you know, what can they do about it? And I, you know, what do we keep saying, right? I mean, I don't know how many different ways we can pose the question.
I don't know what the fix is necessarily, because they have a lineup that should be pretty good against left-handed pitching and was pretty good against left-handed pitching last season. And this season it just hasn't clicked. And I think for the first time, maybe, I think it was last week, Mike Schilt diagnosed kind of what was plaguing them a little bit. It was the fact that against lefties, they were hitting kind of too many lazy fly balls as opposed to either driving the ball or hitting line drives, one or the other. It had become, I think, some of their righty power hitters that you would expect to perform well in those spots weren't doing what you'd expect. They weren't hitting line drives or hitting the ball out of the ballpark. And that still isn't the case, but I still think this might be one of those anomalies that was something weird that has now morphed into something real, because it's happened so repetitively and the Padres need to kind of find their way out of it. This is not something that you look at and say, well, it makes sense that they're not hitting lefties because of this, this, and this in their lineup. They should be hitting lefties. They should be hitting lefties better. And, I mean, this is a thing that I say a lot. Like, it should even out over time, but we know that is not always the case in baseball. Sometimes things have a way of self-perpetuating going forward.
AJ Cassaville joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And, AJ, you know, two big injuries for the Padres in that rotation. Obviously, Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish. I would have said before, you know, recently that Joe's is probably the most concerning, probably still the most concerning, but sounds like they got some good news at least today with the imaging. It doesn't sound like there's a lot of damage, and it's just going to be a rest thing for him.
Yeah, we'll see kind of if it's just a rest thing when he starts building up, if it recurs, because this is an elbow thing, and if I mean that's not something you want recurring. The Padres, I think, at this point would be probably most optimistic if they could give him a little bit of extra time. Joe is not someone, I think we all know this, Joe is not someone that wants extra time off ever, but the prudent thing here is to get this behind them as fast as possible and hope that the clean imaging is something that they can build on and they can have him healthy for the stretch run. Like you said with Yu Darvish, that's just a muscle injury. That's one that I think you understand it's a bummer. You don't want it to be happening, but you also understand that it's not going to maybe derail the rotation. You'd expect Darvish to be back as a part of that group at some point. I don't know how slow his buildup would be, but you're not too concerned with that going forward, especially the way he was pitching before that injury. Musgrove's the question mark, and you can be as optimistic as you'd like, and I think it sounds like the Padres have reason to be optimistic. That doesn't mean they shouldn't be planning for contingency scenarios where he's not available, because we've seen in the past, we saw it in 2021 with this team, we've seen it a million times across the league. You can never plan to have too much starting pitching, and the minute you think you do, you don't, because something happens. And so the Padres, I think, will be looking in different areas, and one of those areas was last night with Adam Major.
AJ, if AJ Preller, rather, is able to make a trade before the deadline, and let's just say they wanted to try to, you know, beef up the offense. We were kicking this around a little before he came on. I mean, what would they be able to do? And the reason we ask is because even if somebody became available that was, you know, under some control and everyone was paying the salary and they thought it was a bat that could really help, who would they put on the bench? You know, how would they fit this person in? Is that kind of an issue moving forward, you think, for AJ Preller trying to, you know, if he did want to try to strengthen his offense?
Yeah, I don't know if it's an issue so much as it is like just kind of like the way this team is constructed right now and the issues that they've had. Like, the fixes, you would think, are already there. They're internal. They're getting some of these guys who have track records of hitting better than what they're hitting this season, getting them going. And so if the Padres wanted to make a trade to bolster their offense, there is probably room on the bench. There's nothing that says like this is a complete offense. They could maybe, I don't know, shake up the catching situation, a backup catcher, something like that. I don't know the specifics of what they would look to do. The likelier fix for what's going on with the offense is to get Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. going, and to get those guys clicking at the top of the lineup with Luis Arraez all together at once, which we haven't seen and we've seen little glimpses of here and there, and you start to kind of think how good the offense could be. Like, the fixes for this offense, I don't think, are out there on the trade market, which, I mean, they were. The Luis Arraez was a perfect fit for this team. But now that you have Luis Arraez on board, I'm just not looking to the trade market, knowing the concerns you have in the rotation and maybe the need for another arm in the bullpen. You have to, I think, trust that the guys you're paying the big money will come around. And then when Xander Bogaerts gets healthy again, that he'll start hitting, and that the fixes for the offense are there, minus, I don't know, maybe a bench bat. And then you allocate your trade resources to the pitching side of things because, I mean, they don't have as many trade resources that they did it as they did at the start of March. They've traded for Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez, both of whom were very useful acquisitions. But what that does is it thins out your trade chips, and they only have so many to allocate it for the deadline.
AJ Cassavell, as always, great job. I got one last quick thing for like 30 seconds. If you had to put two or three Padres on the All-Star team, is it as simple as Profar, Suarez, and Arraez, or where are you thinking?
Those are the three. I still think Jeremiah Estrada could have a case if he keeps striking everyone out. But those are the three off the top of my head. I was looking at some National League outfielders. Like, Fernando Tatis Jr. has not had the season he wants to have. There's not a ton of really strong National League outfielders this season. And so if he could put together a hot couple weeks, which we've seen him do before, I don't think that's out of the question. Rich and Profar, to me, he's the most deserving, and that would be such a cool story for his first All-Star appearance to come in Texas, where he started his career as a top prospect. I think that'd be really cool to see. But right now, yeah, Profar, Arraez, and Robert Suarez would be my All-Star.
You're our All-Star, AJ. Aww. We appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for everything. Continued happiness as a papa. And we'll see you out at the ballpark. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.